As our younger children head out to children's church and our older children come down out of the choir, remind us all that last week at Easter, we talked about the R words of Easter. We told that story through these few words that all begin with the letter R. And those words had so much power in them. We talked about the resurrection of Christ. We talked about the reason why he was resurrected is to show the redemptive power and bring redemption into our lives. We talked about how we accept that for ourselves is through repentance of our sins and turning back to God. And then God revealed the power of his grace as he took our lives and transformed them into something brand new. And so today we're going to continue that kind of an idea, but we're going to take these R words of Easter and we're going to make them our words. Because the R words of Easter tell a great story, but we are people of Easter and we're living our lives day by day with a Savior who is alive and active and powerful and present. And so we want to begin to tell our testimony. Over the next few weeks, we're going to have some stories and testimonies from people here in our congregation about what happens when the R words of Easter become our words of life. And do you know how hard it is for a country boy in the South to say that sentence over and over? Because I never say our. It's always how the R words of Easter become our words of life. And it's hard to see, especially if you're listening online. What is he talking about? O-U-R. Our words. These are our testimonies of God. These are our testimonies of his resurrection and his power and his presence in our lives. Because the story has to come off of these pages and become something that we live before that power is absolutely recognized. So our word that we're going to look at this week is constancy. Constancy. Christ has constancy because he lives. Christ was born of a virgin and God. He lived a life as a man. He had a ministry here on earth. His life was taken. He was placed in the grave, but he rose from the grave. And because of that, he lives. He is here with us here today. Christ has been with us from the very beginning. In Genesis, it says that when God created the heavens and earth, that he was there. Christ was there with him. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ is here with us today. And that constancy is something that's very important for our faith and for our walk. Because we can know that he is here. We can know that he doesn't change. No matter where we are or what we're going through, he remains the same. And so we want to make sure that we focus on that. Our word that fills into our lives from that resurrected Savior is constancy. Get this, the power that brought him out of the grave is here this morning. That power that brought him out of the grave is going to go with these blankets into a hospital room or a nursing home or a home of someone who's going through something difficult. And that same power is going to bring a sense of presence and healing and peace. The same presence, the same gift that took care of our sins on the cross still takes care of our sins today. That grace still flows down and covers us no matter what we've done or where we've been. Christ has constancy, and Christ brings constancy in our lives. They say that there's only a couple of things that you can always count on, death and taxes, right? And that tax date's coming close. I don't know if you're a procrastinator like me, but it's kind of looming very large on my calendar right now. But I think over that, the constancy of Christ as our leader, as our Savior, as our Messiah, trumps it all. Constancy, our word for the day. We kind of begin that story of looking at his constancy in Malachi 3:6. When God speaks to the prophet and he says this to his people, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." God was reminding the people. He was reminding the people of who he is. You see, in the story, in the life of the people of Israel, they had gone through all these different times where God had said, "I am here and I am this and I'm against sin." And then the people would sin and he would have to bring them back and remind them, "This is our covenant, this is our agreement, this is who we are together. You are my children and I'm your God." And then they would go and they would live their lives, they'd fall into sin and God would have to bring them back again. And all along the way, there's been this promise of one day there's going to be a Messiah, one day your Savior's coming, one day I'm going to set everything right. And here through the prophet Malachi, God is reminding his people, I am not changed. I'm the same. Everything that I have been from the very beginning of our relationship together is still the same. And that promise I've made you about a coming Messiah is still coming. In so many ways, he was telling the people, keep the faith. I've got this under control. You may not be able to see it. You may not be able to feel it, but my plan is working to perfection. Just wait. I am coming. I have not lied to you. I am the same. And the people took that and they understood that. They continued to look for their Messiah. Even though they were persecuted, even though they were in captivity, even though their temple was in disarray at different times in history, they knew that their God was constant. And for you and I, we need to hear that same message, that our God is constant, that His promises ring true, just as we saw last week, and just as we need to see today as well. All of us have pain. All of us are facing something in our life that brings pain into our life. If you're in a place where you're not experiencing pain right now, you've probably just come out of it, and you might be heading into it. We face things that we struggle with all the time. No one's alone in that. But in our pain, we remember the words of Hebrews 13:8. It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we take those words to heart and we remember that the God of my joy is also the God of my pain. And He will be the God of my deliverance and renewal. The God who was there when things were easy is the same God who's there on the days when things are hard. And He will be the God of my days that are easy once again. Jesus Christ hasn't changed. And so many times people ask the question, where is God? In the midst of all this, where is Jesus today? He's in the same place He has been, ruling and reigning. Sometimes we move, and we can't find Him, and we can't hear His voice because we have stepped away or we've stepped into a different place in our faith. But He's never moved. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you and I can count on that. And when He says, I'm here, and I hear you, and I feel your pain, and I'm here to heal you, we can believe that as well. So no matter where you are, if you're about to enter into pain, just coming out of a painful place, or if you're smack in the middle of a struggle that you don't think you can survive, you are not alone. And the one who is with you brings constancy and presence and power into your situation. So right now we want to watch that. We want to watch how that constancy of Christ moves the R words of Easter into one of our words of life. Let's watch this short video.
I have never really experienced much death in my life. As a child, I had some grandparents pass away, and either I was too young or we weren't very close, so it didn't affect me that much. Then my great-grandmother, my nanny, passed away in 2011, the very young age of 95. Besides my sisters and my parents, she is absolutely who I was the closest to. And although I was sad to see her gone, it was expected. She had lived an incredible life without zero regrets. And even though I was sad, I knew she was where she wanted to be. She was looking so forward to seeing her Heavenly Father, her Archie, who's my papa, and her friends who had already gone before her. So even though I was sad and mourned her passing, it was very easy for me to get back into my normal everyday life. And then 2013 happened, and five people I loved passed away. My best friend's mom, my brother-in-law's father, my old worship leader and choir director from New Covenant, a dear friend from the same church, and my mom. And death is a part of life. I get it, but these were five people that were really young and it was unexpected. And I get it, you probably think right now, this is the part where I was overwhelmed with grief and mourning that I wasn't able to function or that I wasn't even able to live, but that's not the case at all. If anything, I thrived. I not only survived, but I thrived during that time. And it's all because of what the Lord showed me and taught me. And it was actually on a Sunday, 1 week after Easter, 5 years ago. I actually blogged about it, and I'm going to read my post, part of this post that I had written. The Sunday following Mom's passing was UMW Sunday, and we had an entire girl worship band. We had a female guest speaker, Rachel Bobo Faulkner Brown, which some of you will know who that is because she spoke here before. She had been widowed twice by the age of 34. And then we sang a song called One Thing Remains. And between that speaker and that song, God spoke to me. The speaker in the song had already been picked out for the worship set for a few weeks prior to the service and prior to Mom's heavenly debut. I tend to believe that God gives you exactly what you need when you need it. I believe with all my heart that He is just as active in the small things like song choices and speakers as He is in the big stuff like callings and appointments. He knew I needed to hear Rachel's story, and He knew I needed to sing One Thing Remains. The lyrics of the song say, higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains. On and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never ever have to be afraid. One thing remains. Your love never fails. It never gives up and it never runs out on me. In death and in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. I have sung hundreds of songs, hundreds of times about God's love. And I knew His love was more powerful than the grave. His grave, because He rose that beautiful Easter morning we had just celebrated the week before. But guess what? His love is stronger. The power of my mom's, to my mom's grave. It might be silly to say, but it's true. Something very powerful happened to me as I sang that song. I realized His love isn't just stronger than the grave 2,000 years ago, but it is stronger than the grave today and tomorrow, and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul, and I never, ever have to be afraid, for one thing remains. As I led that song that morning, I felt God's hands cut together under my broken heart. I know several people at Grace Point have lost family members and friends in the 4 years we've been here. At some point, I've even thought it was abnormal how much loss this church has experienced. But regardless, life happens, death happens. And by no means am I an expert on grief, but I know this most important thing. His love is strong and it remains. Friends move and jobs change. Pastors get appointed, babies are born, people die, but He is constant. He is the constant. His love sees you and sees me through it all. And because of that love that is stronger than the grave 2,000 years ago, stronger than the grave in 2013, and stronger than the grave in 2018, we not only can survive, but we can thrive in the wake of a tragedy. His love remains.
Hebrews 13. Verse 5, words that we have heard a lot. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those words bring us comfort. We're going through times that are difficult. We remind other people to help them through. God's love remains the same. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He's here with you. And those words do bring some level of comfort. But I wonder if there's something missing. Because so many times we take verses out of context, or we take verses, even if it's in good context, we only quote one little part of it. And when we do so, we miss the key to unlocking the power. So let's read Hebrews 13, 1 through 6 today and put the whole story together. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality of strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You see, you and I have a part in that promise. And that promise that he will always be here with us. You and I have a part in that. And that is that we live our lives the way he has commanded on the front end. That we commit ourselves to following after Christ's commands. Everything that's listed right here in Hebrews 13, those first few verses, is just spelling out what it is at the basic premise of our faith. And for us today, we know that we need to love our neighbor. We know that we need to serve other people. We know that we need to put other people before ourselves. That we need to pray for those who are in prison. Pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who are alone. Visit everyone that we can. Talk about and share the glory of God through our own story and through our testimony. We know that we're supposed to live. And when we live the life Christ has called us to, then we can claim that verse that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And according to Hebrews 13, we can confidently say, I know that God is my helper. I know that Christ is my helper. Because I've experienced it and I've lived it. Sarah is an example of that. What could the world do to take Sarah's joy? Lost 5 people unexpectedly in 1 year. That's enough to make anyone's joy be diminished. But one of those was her mother, taken far too young, completely as a surprise. And yet, 1 week, not even a full week, after hearing of her mother's passing on into heaven, Sarah's leading worship on a stage, and the Holy Spirit is holding her up and filling her with joy. That only happens because she lived her life on the front end the way that Christ has called her to. And because of that, she was close enough to hear his voice, to feel his presence, and to know he was there. And so when we hear that and we see her testimony, we take heart in the fact that we know that Christ can be and will be there for us. But we also need to realize that for us to completely open that up and accept that, for us to completely put on Christ, is to know Christ first and know him intently and passionately and intimately so that we can hear and receive all that he has for us. There's nothing the world could throw at Sarah to take her joy. Did she cry? Did she have grief? Absolutely. She had so much loss in her life, but it didn't own her. The joy of the Lord owned her. And owns her today. We're all going to experience pain. We're all going to experience loss. But Christ is constant. And when we're connected to him, we will have the strength to endure. Sarah's testimony is not one of how great she is, but how great her Jesus is. And there will be many more times when she has to lean on the constancy of Christ to see her through. And our prayer is always that we're in that place to simply throw our arms back in a trust fall and lean into the arms of the one who stretched his arms out to take us all in. Christ is the constancy and the strength we need to live our lives. Romans chapter 8, Paul writes that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. There's nothing on this earth or under this earth or above this earth. Nothing can take us away from the love of Jesus Christ. Not even our sin can separate us. He loves us today just as much as he did yesterday and just as much as he will tomorrow. And nothing we do or anyone else can do can change that. But today, as we watch this video, some of us realize and have heard the Holy Spirit speak and say, I love you. I love you. And there's nothing that you can do to change that. I died for you. I rose for you. I live today for you. Maybe at the same time, the Holy Spirit speaking to some of us and saying, that constancy that you need, that strength that you need, is right here waiting on you. All you've got to do is just come back. All you've got to do is just open up. Look towards me, and I will pull you up out of your pain and out of your struggle, and I will renew you, and I will set your feet into a good place. I will restore your joy and I will restore your heart. I love the way Sarah says that she felt the Holy Spirit's hands underneath her broken heart. He was holding that heart together. And in doing so, he was holding her life together. And his arms are extended and his hands are cupped, and he's waiting for you to put your heart in his hands this morning so that he can do the same for you. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you this morning, know that you're not alone. Know that other people are hurting too. And Christ is here, and Christ is calling out for you to simply surrender so that you can be renewed. The resurrected Savior is here to renew and redeem his people today. So as the band is going to come up, then we're actually going to play that song that Sarah talked about. And I'm going to ask Sarah to kind of stop by one of the mics. We have a follow-up question for her. But I also want to talk about the back of that connection card. I know that a lot of people don't like to be in front of others, and you don't like to make your business public. And if this morning the Holy Spirit's moving on you, but you're not comfortable coming up to the front, I want you to know that you can put that on your card, that you can put down that you made a decision for Christ this morning. You can put down and make a declaration, today I've asked God to come and rescue me. And I want to tell you what happens when you do that and you put it in the offering plate. It comes to my desk, and I'm going to pray for you, and if necessary, I'm going to follow up with you in a personal way to help you and guide you and pray with you through that. For others, today you do want to come forward and you want to kneel at an altar during the song and pour your life out and ask God to cup his hands under your heart. These altars will be open during this song, but we have a follow-up question for Sarah that we want to ask her this morning, kind of following up on that. Like, how is the constancy of Christ at work in your life today? That's a great story of where he was in 2013, but where is that constancy of Christ today?
Well, for anyone familiar with the Methodist Church, this time of year gets a little shaky for pastors' families because you don't know where you're going to be or where you might be moved. And when I tell people, yeah, my husband's a Methodist pastor, we get moved. And you just never know every year when this time comes. And when I tell them that we might be moving or whatever, they're like, I don't know how you do it. I can never do that. How do you do that? It never fails. Those same questions almost in a triplet. I don't know how you do it. How do you do that? I could never do that. And the only thing I can say is I can't do this shuffle, the Methodist shift, but I can only because of him. And so no matter if my group of people change, which you are my people, no matter what part of the state we ever get moved to, he is the constant. Thank God he is with me on every one of those moves. Otherwise, this chick could not do it. And because of him, I can.
And that really goes for everyone here. I don't know what you're facing right now, but I know the chances are good that you or your family is facing something that's big. Maybe you're in the midst of something. And the message that God wants to have for you is simply this. The love of Christ is constant. And what you're going through right now, you can't make it out the other side alone. You can't do it. But Christ can carry you. And Christ will carry you. Because no matter what changes in our lives, no matter what we're struggling with, no matter how deep the pain is, the one thing remains that we can count on is his love, his grace, and his presence. As we sing this song this morning, if you're feeling the call of the Holy Spirit, don't delay. Don't take that struggle one more day. Christ died and rose again to take this off of you. And maybe today is a day you need to find the constancy of Christ in your life. Maybe today is a day you finally surrender and say, I'm done struggling. I need you. Maybe today is a day you find him for the first time. Listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us through the words of this song as we sing. If you're able, please stand and sing with us this morning.